Thought maybe we might just talk to you about something real simple and yet something real important. I'll have to go at length and get into the deep mysteries of God, the deep revelation of God. I just love that because I live in it. And I love to go into it. But you've got babes in Christ and they need milk. And sometimes we try to serve a little milk with the meat. The Bible said that meat should be in the house of the Lord, but still at the same time, we try to serve a little milk. And when you get older, you don't need a whole lot of milk. Scientists say that milk's not too good for you, you know, when you get older. And but I still like milk. But anyway, I try to serve a little milk and along with the meat. And it's necessary for people that don't know too much about God, that especially babes in Christ, that you kind of put some doorsteps to the house to where they know how to get in. I never will forget in my real young life when I came to Christ to really try to work for Him. I just cry. I just go out to pray and I'd cry and I'd cry and I said, Lord, all these great men and great people of God everywhere, and they understand and they're in going on with you, and I don't understand, and nobody's left me a road map, and I just cry, you know, and I'd say, my God, help me, and I'd beg God to help me, I'd beg God for wisdom and understanding, and then when the Lord really did receive me, and I felt the call for the ministry, I really begged God for wisdom. I said, Lord, I'm ignorant, and I don't know what to say, and if I'm not careful, I'll be lost my soul and cause somebody else to lose their soul, and I said, for God's sake, help me. And He was kind to me. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. And I said, if I ever do get to where I understand the word of the Lord, I said, I won't do like a lot of other men. I'll leave a pathway for the others to find. And I'll leave doorsteps to the house to where they can get in. Because I was just blank in my mind. I just couldn't come up with nothing but like for a long time. And so I did. We've wrote, got quite a number of books from sermons that we preached, and we've got a book or two that we wrote, one especially that they've never published that Sister Susie's working on. It's kind of the elementary side of things is to approach Revelation, and it's real stirring to Sue, and as she types and works on it, and it's been out for many years. It's been with us for many years, but we've never put it out. We've never let anybody get a hold of it. This has had a hang up somehow or another. The devil just didn't want it out. And now they're getting it together, and it's an elementary approach so that people can get into the Spirit and into the deep things of God. It starts in an elementary way, but it's not as complicated or deep as a spiritual conquest, which gets a little deeper. It's not as complicated as some of the things we teach here. It's not too bad for you because we're here to teach you. We're your pastor, and we're here to put it on tape and teach you, and you can play the tapes back, and we can talk with you and explain the things to you, and you understand. But people who are chunda, you don't realize how far over their heads you are. I told some of the brethren here a number of times, I said, you just don't realize that when you go out there talking to ministers, that they are little bitty babes compared to what you know. And sure enough, they found it out, and they've come back, and they've said, Brother Pike said, we marvel that they are so much unlearned, even at their very best, and trying to tutor and lead the people. But it's true, God has been good to us, and He's been good to you. But that makes us our brother's keeper. And Paul said, I'm indebted to preach the gospel to every creature, whether Jew, the Gentile, the Greek, whatever, as much as lieth within me. And so then it's our job to preach the gospel, and even the more, for whom much is given, much is required. And the Lord said, to whom I've given much, I'll require of them the more. So the servant that knows to do his Lord's will, and the Bible said if he doesn't do it, he'll be beaten with many stripes. But the servant that knew not to do his Lord's will, committing things that was worthy of stripes, the Bible said he shall be beaten with few stripes. But let us supply ourselves, and let's go into the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus, and let us go on to a full reward. God wants us to go on to a full reward. I want to read and just talk to you a little and just some simplicity, unless the Lord should see different. Reading from Mark chapter 11. I refer to this every once in a while because this is real outstanding. Now, we've made comparison to St. Mark and some of the other scriptures as to the same occasion. And they give this and they give the same thing, but they give it in a different approach. And it seems to be more outstanding, vivid as to the understanding in Mark 11. So this is why we read from Mark 11. I know it's probably hot in here and probably uncomfortable to you, but things will probably cool off a little as the sun drops. Let's read from chapter 11. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you enter into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man set, loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do you this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they loosed him, and certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strewed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the evening tide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast them out that sold and bought of the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and all the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Notice now it says that they were astonished at his doctrine. The Bible said, for his words were with power. And here, all of a sudden, he says to a fig tree that you won't bear anymore. From henceforth and forever, you'll never bear again. And as I pointed out a number of times, the fig tree died. And it died in a strange way. It died from the roots up. Whereas trees don't die from roots up. I repeat that again. See, trees die from the top down as the sap goes down. But this had been cursed and died from the roots up. You know, I told you about the strange phenomenon of this thing that happened down here on the ground, of a tree that died from the roots up. We had something to do with it. And I saw this thing actually happen. So it died from its roots up. And I told you again that history tells us that at the same time that Jesus cursed this fig tree, likening Israel to the fig tree now, that the Sanhedrin was in conference trying to figure out how that they could destroy him. And it is a true fact. It said here that they sought a way to destroy him at the very time that he said they wouldn't bear anymore. So then, as it wasn't the life of Daniel, the story of Daniel, said, cut the tree down, let seven times pass over the stump, and then let it grow again. Even as Israel again, a great revelation if we got into it. But we see here that this thing was astounding to Peter. And when Peter said what he did to Jesus, Jesus said, have faith in God. Now, we know that God is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word came forth. It was made flesh. He dwelt among us, and we dwell among those in this day that are made flesh as to the Word. Now, the Word is made flesh in my life. The Word is made flesh in your life. And we dwell among this Word, or this walking epistle that's known and read of all men. So then we see this Word just as they saw it in that day. That Word was made flesh in Jesus and made flesh in the disciples, not in the disciples or in you, as it was in Jesus, to the extent he was the Word made flesh, the Spirit without measure. But you are this Word made flesh. You are the Spirit by measure. So then you are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular. And you are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. In that he was the Word made flesh, in that you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, then you are the Word made flesh, or else you couldn't be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, because he was the Word. And according to the measure, let us go on to the full measure. Let us go on to the full reward. So Jesus used the terms here. He said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. When we hear the Word, we don't lean to our own understanding, but we have faith in God. We don't lean to our own understanding, but whatever the Word says, that's what we believe. If the Word says it, we believe it. This was the thing that caused Abraham to find faith with God, is that Abraham believed what God said. And the Bible said because Abraham believed the Word of God, it was imputed unto him as righteousness. His faith was imputed unto him as righteousness, because the Bible said he was strong in faith, giving God glory. You know, a lot of times we say, well, Brother Pike, I prayed, I asked God for it, and it just didn't happen. And because of that, you say, well, I don't have any faith. See, but that's not right. Just because something doesn't happen, it doesn't mean that you don't have any faith. It doesn't mean that you are not believing. See, it just depends. Maybe one thing will happen and then another thing doesn't happen. That doesn't mean that you are not a believer, and it doesn't mean that you don't have faith just because something didn't happen. See, it's the condition of your faith. It's the condition of your believing. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you, or according to your believing. It's as to the channel of believing, or as to how you approach a situation, or the way that you believe. See, you've got to believe according to the Word. There is no faith outside of the Word. Whatever the Word says, when you believe it, that's faith. And faith is from the heart. You might be a believer, as I say, and the devil believes also. But the thing is, if you don't have faith, believing will not save you. Believing cannot save you. James made that real plain when he spoke of a faith as to a believing, like as to a human believing. He said, faith without works is dead, speaking of a human believing. He wasn't speaking of faith as to the faith of Christ that needs no works, but rather your faith. We do the things that please God. Hereby we have confidence because we assure our heart, and then our heart believes. See, and the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Out of the heart comes forth evil thoughts of adultery and blasphemy, of covetousness and hatred, of malice, of gossip, backbiting. All of these defile a man as to his thoughts, as to a man's thoughts. As he thinks in his heart, so he is. See, as he thinks in his heart, the faith that I'm speaking of is a constitution of your thoughts, of God's thoughts. My faith is a constitution of my thoughts, but God's faith is a constitution of his thoughts. And that's why the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to make himself equal to God, but he did not try to make himself a reputation. So then, as to your faith, then that is of your thoughts, and that must have works and human stimulation. But as to God's mind, that is his faith, and the works was finished from the foundation of the world. When they said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, I am the works of God. You believe on me or him whom the Father has sent. And this is the works of God. So then, the faith by which you're sanctified, or that wonderful faith of God that actually saves us, is Christ's mind. Without that mind, you don't get the healings, you don't get the deliverance, you don't get the answer. See, that's why a lot of people pray for things and things never happen. They say, well, Brother Pike, I believed. I can't say they didn't believe. They said, I believed and it didn't happen. I can't say that they didn't believe. They did believe. A lot of people believe and it doesn't happen. But see, just mere believing, I say so often, is not faith. Faith is from the heart. If just mere believing was faith, then the devil would be converted and saved. Because the Bible said, if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devils believe and they tremble because of that. See, but that isn't faith, or that would save the devil. But faith is by the hearing of the word of God, not something that you think. It's not something that you conjure up in your mind, but when the word says something and you believe it. Jesus said, have faith in the word. Have faith in God. Or he was saying, Peter, I'm God. I'm standing here. I'm God. I'm the word. I'm made flesh. I'm here. I'm the word. I'm God. And there's no other God outside of me. And I am the word of spirit made flesh. So he said, have faith in me. Have faith in me. Have faith in the word. I said this, and this is what happened, because my Father and I are one. And the Bible said, if you abide in the word and the word abide in you, you ask what you will, it'll be done unto you. So then he said, have faith in God. And this is the beauty of it. See, he said, and if you have faith in God, he said, you not only can say this that I've said to the fig tree, he said, but you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and not doubt in your hearts that it'll obey you. He said, and whatever you say, if you can believe in your heart and not doubt, he said, it will happen. Isn't that a challenge, folks? Now, isn't that a challenge? Have you ever put your faith to work for God? I'm having to put my faith to work right now. I've got to have around $50,000 or thereby in the next about 3 weeks. I got to have it. So I'm putting my faith to work for God, and I'm going to get it by faith in God. I got to have it. I got to have $100,000, and I have somewhere around $55,000 right now. But we're going to have the other by faith in God. See, because we're going to put our faith forth, and we'll believe God. Not that we have any place to get it, no way to get it, but we'll get it by faith in God. See, we have to meet the deadline by faith in what we're doing for God. God will not fail you. God never fails, never fails. See, he never alters the thing that's gone out of his mouth. He never changes it, but he hastens to perform his word. And the Bible said his word is forever settled in heaven. It's never altered. It's never changed. When something is lacking, it's because of your faith. It's because of my believing. See, God never changes. This is where we get all mixed up. When we ask God for something, or we go after something, the devil will start. Well, you don't know whether it's God's will. You don't know whether God wants you to have it or not. Or you don't know that you're good enough. Or you haven't fasted enough. Or you've not prayed enough. You know, and besides that, God might change his mind. But folks, God don't change his mind. See, and God don't alter on his end. And God has said it. He said, will I not make it good? Shall I bring to the travail and not bring forth, saith the Lord? See, let's get that out of our mind. That's one of our great steps right there in faith. Now, in our schooling of faith, the first thing we need to do is settle it in our heart that there ain't going to be no changes with God. Whatever God said, that's the way it is throughout eternity. It's forever settled in heaven without change, alteration, and it's the same to 1,000 generations. So we settled that. That's all gone now. That's out of the way. We know that God isn't going to change his mind. We know that God is not going to up and surprise us. You know, we know that God is not going to look as we take a step by faith and say, praise God, we'll do it in Jesus' name. And somebody says, bless God, wait till the Lord lets you down. And see, God isn't going to let you down. See, somebody said, well, you just wait and God don't do it. God isn't going to not do it. See, that's foolishness. That's foolishness. That is a blasphemous thing against God in your thinking. To doubt God's word. If I told Brother Taylor, Brother Taylor, I'll see you in the morning at 5:00. You can count on it. Rain or shine, whatever it might be, I'll be there, Brother Taylor. If I tell him like that, then I'm going to try to be there. Now, I might tell him I'll be there, and I might not be there. You know, but if I really get down to the nitty-gritty, as we say, and I say, I'll be there, Brother Taylor, then I'm planning to be there. And Brother Taylor will believe that. Now, it's an insult to God for Brother Taylor to believe my word and then not to believe what God has said. It's an insult to God for you to doubt God's word or for you to reason with God's word when He said, I'll not change it. I'll hasten to perform my word. My word will not return unto me void, but it'll accomplish that I please and prosper in that whereunto I've sent it. So then it is unfair to God for you and I to doubt His word. So then we settle that once and for all in our lifetime. We settle that we are not going to argue with God. We're not going to wonder about God altering His word. We're not going to worry about God changing His word. We're not going to worry about God taking us by surprise. Oh, you know, we boast in the Lord and say something. And then everybody says, well, you heard what He said. You heard what they said. You just wait. You know, we're not going to do that. We're not going to, because we're unbelievers when we do that. We insult God when we do that. We're working for the enemy when we do that. When we hear somebody boasting God and we know that they're sincere and they're trying to do something for God, and somebody says, by faith in God, we will do it, then we join right in. We don't let no other thoughts in there. We're joining right in with them and saying, hallelujah. Glory to God. God said it. You stood for it. God will give it to you. Amen. Stand with it, and God will give it to you. Stay with the word of God, and God will bring it to pass. Jesus said, have faith in God. Many times in my life, I've seen it come to pass. So then I know then that God isn't going to take me by surprise. I know that God isn't going to try to make me a spectacle in the eyes of the people by letting me down. I don't consider that. I don't let that go through my mind as to worry about that. God's part's taken care of. I do one thing, and that is I say, Brother Pike, you need to get on your knees and pray, or you need to fast, or you need to do whatever you need to do so that you can convince your heart that God is hearing your prayers in that you've asked Him for something. And the Bible said, do this to convince your heart, and then when your heart is convinced, you know that God hears you. And the Bible said, if we know that God heareth us, then we know that we have the petition we desire of God, in that we do the things that please Him. So I said, Brother Pike, there's nothing to worry about on God's part now. The word's there. It's already said it now. What you've got to do is act on the word of God. And you've got to stay with God one way or another, whatever it takes, meditation or whatever it takes, or walking in His way till you are fully confident in your heart, as Abraham of old was, that God hath heard your prayers. And if you know that God hears us, the Bible said concerning fasting, these other kind of things, He said to the Jews, you don't fast as you do this day. You don't make prayer as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. See, and when we know that we've made our voice to be heard on high, then we have what we want of God. And you know, this is a beautiful thing concerning the Lord. The Bible said, we know that God heareth us, for His ear is always attentive toward the cry of the righteous. Then am I pleading with God so that He will hear me? Am I in a contest as to say, well, I've got a wrestle, God sitting up there, you know, He's a great judge, He's a king sitting on the throne, and I've got to wrestle with Him, and I've got to beg, I'm a beggar. I come up and I say, I beg You, I beg You, I beg You. I get down on my face, I beg You, oh God, I beg You, oh God. See, God isn't like that. How can I think of God like that? That's an insult to God again. See, God doesn't make beggars out of us. He said, come boldly before the throne of grace that you might receive help in the time of need. See, because of Calvary, we can go boldly. We go into the holies of holies. We go into the very presence of God. So I don't go there to beg God to give me something. This thing was given to me in Christ Jesus before the world ever was. And it was brought to light by the rent veil that is made revelation or light at Calvary, and preached down through the church ages to me and to the people. And I was told to comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this thing. See, so it's already given to me. He's already given unto me all things that pertain unto life. For the Bible said, I've given you all things that pertain unto life. He's already given us our healing. For the Bible said, by His stripes we were healed. And He's already given us eternal life. For the Bible said, this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was. And our names were written down in the Lamb's book of life when the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world in the mind of God was slain. God wrote our names down. So then we already have these things. And when Paul refers back to his women workers and men workers, he said, whose names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. Not some kind of a flimsy sort of a thing that if I do good and hold on tight and make it over to the end, I'm going to make it. That ain't the way it is. I know we quote the scripture, you know, so often said, and he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. But let me say it like this. Nobody's going to endure to the end except the elect. Them that are elect according to God's foreknowledge, them that He predestinated unto eternal life and good works, them is the only one that's going to endure unto the end. That's why Paul, when he was preaching, he said, and as many as were as before of old ordained unto condemnation, they didn't believe. He said, but them that were ordained unto eternal life, when I preached the gospel, he said, they believed. So we have to understand what God is telling us, or our faith, our believing will be all misconstrued. Now, what's wrong with us? See, it isn't that we don't believe. Someone would say, well, I don't have all these miracles and all these things, Brother Pike, because I don't believe. That's not true. Let me prove to you that that's not true. Somebody says, bless God, I know it's true, because if I believed it happened. No, that's not true. You misunderstand. If that is true, then tell me something. Are you a Christian? You say that you are. How did you get to be a Christian? You've got to be a Christian by believing. How is it then you tell me that you don't believe? If you don't believe, then you don't have salvation. Let's not play games. You know, if I believe, then I'm a Christian. If I don't believe, I'm not a Christian. So it's not a matter of me not believing. I do believe. If I don't get exactly what I'd like to have in the way of a miracle or healing, that doesn't mean I don't believe. Because I do believe. I'm a child of God. I do believe. But where the problem comes in, I've tried to expound this to you so many times. It is the strength of your believing. It is the kind of a believing. It is what you're believing for. See, it is a lot easier for you to believe in Christianity because you don't have to see anything miraculous happen, you say. But folks, you don't realize what a great miracle it is as to salvation. You may go along for years thinking that you are a Christian and thinking that you are a true believer to come to find out that you don't have the Spirit of God. You know something? A lot of people get mixed up on these things. Sometimes you hear me say things like, Jimmy Swagger don't have the Holy Ghost. Jim Baker don't have the Holy Ghost. I say Old Roberts don't have the Holy Ghost. Brother Humbart don't have the Holy Ghost. Great men and believers. Somebody say, you're crazy, Brother Pike. With all these great things, with all these phenomenal things, with all these things that they've done, and you say that they don't have the Holy Ghost, how do you know that the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ? I'm not coming against these men. Like say, we send Oral Roberts our literature regularly. He asks us for it for his World Library, but the truth is the truth. See, is the Spirit of Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Did the Spirit at any time when it tabernacled in the body of the Lord Jesus start a college with half-nude people? Come on, folks. Did it practice the thing that these evangelists are practicing today? Does these men teach baptism in Jesus' name as for the remission of sin, as our Lord did, as the apostles did, when He laid these foundations as to the city of New Jerusalem and said other foundations can no man lay except this baptism in Jesus' name and this one God message? When the church, 3,000, started it there at Pentecost and it went on. They say, well, Brother Pike, aren't these men believers? Sure, they're believers. They're believers. And today the blood is on the seat of atonement. And miracles can take place. And as long as it's there, them people are in heaven out yonder. I say this again, I know. I get a repercussion out of that. And you're in heaven too. And I get a repercussion out of that. But that's because the people are ignorant that do that. They think they're great in the Bible. And they're ignorant. They just don't understand. So they come whirling at you, you know, to say, hey, boy, that's false, you're a cult, all these kind of things. But I don't get upset with them. They're just babes. They don't understand. They think they do, but they don't understand. Well, let me tell you something. As long as that blood is on the seat of atonement, Jesus took away the sins of the world. And that means that God doesn't even see them people's iniquity out there. If God saw their iniquity and the dirty, evil, rotten things that they were doing, His eyes are so that He can't look upon iniquity. If He could look upon one time, He'd destroy the world in a moment. And the very moment, it's the recording of Revelation 8, when the blood comes off the seat of atonement, that very moment, the Bible said, is the Lot going out of Sodom and Gomorrah. The very day that he went out, being a type of the church, the fire and brimstone came. Revelation 8, just the very moment that this thing happened, God will pour out His fury upon the world. See, and grace will be lifted. And immediately Satan will be out in the darkness. And he will be in the world. He won't be in heaven anymore. He's in heaven right now. He's in heaven. Revelation records it. John said, I looked, and in heaven I saw a great red dragon. He was in heaven. And I saw a woman in heaven, he said, travailing in birth to bring forth. That was the church, really having to do with the Jews, as of the church in the wilderness, but referring back to us in the spiritual. See, and that was in heaven. See, that was in heaven. And the Bible said that when this great war took place at the birth of the child, he went up to another heaven, first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. He went up to another heaven. Paul said such a one being caught up to the third heaven. See, and he went up to the third heaven. And the Bible says as to this heaven where Lucifer was at, the heaven that was to be destroyed, the Bible said, and there was found no place in heaven anymore for the dragon, and he and his angels were cast out into the earth, saying, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you. And he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Whom resist steadfast, the Bible tells us in this day. Steadfast in faith. Don't give place to him, no, not for a moment. All right, so then, I didn't mean to get sidetracked on those kind of things right there, but I want to bring this out to you. We've talked to you before, but I have to clarify it when I put this on tape, because it goes to people. All right, so then, faith in God. Jesus said, Peter, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And I say unto you, Peter, that whatever you say, you can have it. You know what the problem is? We don't believe it to the extent as to the strength to bring it to pass. And we don't have faith strong enough to bring it to pass. If we believed what we said, and said that from our heart, it wouldn't make no difference what we said, because we have the mind of Christ, you know. We're not going to say anything wrong. Somebody said, well, he could say anything, Brother Pike. You've got enough sense to know that God isn't going to hear anything but the mind of Christ. But he's speaking of the mind of Christ. He's speaking to the saints of God. Whatsoever you say. See, when you say it, if you believe it, if you really believe it, can you really believe it? If I walk out here and I see a sycamine tree and I say, be plucked up and be cast into the sea. Can I really, truly believe that's going to happen? With all of my efforts, with all of my struggle, can I actually deep down in my heart believe that? I can make believe, but can I actually be convicted in my heart that that tree's going to jump up out of the ground? Folks, if I was convicted of it, it'd jump up out of the ground. Let's give it all. I know some of you don't believe that, but that's the truth. If I was convicted of it, that tree would actually jump up out of the ground. And if you walk over here to a dead man and that dead man is in the tomb, and you tell that dead man to come out of the tomb, and you actually truthfully believe that in your heart, being a Christian, that man will come out of the tomb. It'll happen. All right, so we see how wonderful faith is. What a challenge it is to us. We have the minds of Christ. Bible said you have the minds of Christ. Yield the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what kind of measure as to spirit, as to our strength, do we have? Jesus was the measure in fullness of God. And God giveth not him the spirit by measure. He was the full strength of faith. But folks, what kind of strength are you? What kind of measure do you have? How much have you denied yourself? How much have I denied myself as to go on to this full measure of the full stature? See, all the full reward, all the full strength. My reward would be the same as Jesus's if I believe the same as Jesus. Oh, somebody would say, Brother Pike, no, you can't do that. But Jesus said, these things that I do, and greater things shall you do, because I go to the Father. See, and if you understood that, I wish we had time to elaborate on it. If you understood that, you'd know it's exactly like he said it. No alteration, no changes. See, so then it was like Abraham. The beauty of Abraham is this. The Bible says, and Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. You know, when you begin to wonder, when you begin to doubt, when you begin to try to convince yourself, you're staggering then. But the Bible said Abraham staggered not at the promises of God, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised or said he was able also to perform. Now, Sarah wasn't like that. Sarah over here, when she heard that, standing back over here, she laughed. And the angel of God was disturbed over it. And the angel of God said, why did Sarah laugh? She was back there in the tent. But he knew about it. And said, why did she laugh? And Sarah said, well, I didn't. He said, yes, you did. Yes, you did. You know, now, it's bad enough to laugh, but don't go lying. He could have said, you know, it's bad enough to laugh, but don't lie about it if you doubt. Don't have an evil heart of unbelief. But nevertheless, he said, the words of God will come to pass. It will come to pass, like the man in the days of over there of Elijah. In those days when the great things were taking place in the days of Elisha. See, there was great, mighty things that took place. And on one occasion, I remember where these leopards, we spoke to you about these leopards outside of the gate, how they went by faith and found all of this food when in the side of the city there was a famine. And the prophet had come and said, thus saith the Lord about such and such a time as to the evening, there shall be a great revival of the people. There shall be a great thing that'll happen. Food will be everywhere. And this man, he bladed out, you know, in his unbelief, said, yes, if God made windows in heaven. And the prophet said, you'll see it, but you won't partake of it because of your unbelief, you know. And so then when the time came, you remember how the king appointed that very man over the gate. And when the rush came as to what these leopards had found in that camp, when God had driven all these men away, the armies away, left all these goods, and the Bible said the people just rushed for this food and they trampled that man to death. It came to pass. He saw it, but he didn't partake of it because of his unbelief. See, so let there not be in you an evil heart of unbelief, failing to enter into the rest of the Lord. And you know what the revelation of the rest of the Lord is? See, entering into the rest of the Lord. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You must believe that God is, and you must believe that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so then faith is the substance that you're looking for. Faith is the substance that you're desiring. Faith is the thing that you want in your heart. Whatever it might be, houses, cars, land, healing, whatever. Faith is the substance. Once you get faith, you've got it. Like the evidence as to convict a person, you've got the evidence. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Once you get faith, you've got the evidence that it belongs to you, and this is the secret of faith. See, that's why that Abraham was so strong in faith. All he had was a word, and the word said, at the time of life, I will visit Sarah. A lot of people get mixed up and they say, well, Brother Pike, Abraham had to wait on it. I just have to patiently wait. No, that's not right. I tell you again, that's not right. It's according to your believing as to whether you wait or not. Somebody said, but look at Abraham. I know I'm looking at Abraham, but the word of God that God gave unto Abraham was based on a certain time. There was a time element involved. When God speaks of these other things, it's a past experience. It's already done. Calvary's already done. You already have all things that pertain unto life. Write the check, sign your name, start enjoying them. That is, the Bible said you have these things because you do not serve him with joyfulness of heart. Now look at Abraham's joyfulness of heart. You've got the same word that Abraham had. And the Bible said these men were men of like passion, the same as you and I. They had the same problems in life, but yet they believed God. And God worked great miracles. See, so you see, Abraham had joy. What was his joy? He didn't see a little one. There was no little one for him to rejoice over. But as far as Abraham was concerned, God had said it was going to be. And Abraham was going around, just had that little one in his eye, just sparkling in his eye. And no doubt he was saying, sir, you've got to make these clothes. You've got to do it like this. Now, sir, just think. Hallelujah, he would say, you know. Now, that is joy. See, and when you do that, the devils go every which way, the demons, the sickness, poverty, everything leaves because you're convicted in faith. And the Bible said when you pray, if you want something, believe that you receive it, and then you shall have it. In other words, accept it then as something that God has already given you. If I say, folks, God has healed you, if I pray for you, then you should confess your healing. Someone said, well, if I'm not healed, I can't confess a lie. But the Bible said you was healed by His stripes. Someone said, well, if I wasn't healed, how could that be? Because you believed it. Now, if you don't believe it, then you wasn't healed. You are telling a lie. But if you do believe it and you confess it, then the Bible said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Christ is the high priest of my confession. Whatever I confess, that's what it is. As I think in my heart, so I am. All right, now, so then looking at it for just a few more minutes now, see, when we think of faith, then why did Abraham get what he wanted? Because he accepted it. God said, Abraham, you've got a little one. That was about the essence of what was said. Or at this time of life, I will visit Sarah and she shall have a little one. Though the womb was dead, though Abraham was dead, the past age, barren, all these kind of things. And yet God renewed their youth. By faith in God, God did that. The day, like Moses, the Bible said that Moses being old as to age, but yet his eyesight had not waxed dim. The natural sources of his body wasn't even abated. He was still like a young man when God took him on into glory to appear on the Mount of Transfiguration over there with Elijah. See, so then we know that the Word of God is sure. It is power. It is evidence. It is the substance. So then when the Word of God says that you are healed, then you've got your healing. Thy word have I hid in my heart, David said, that I might not sin against you. So then, like the little tract we wrote, God's healing word, when God says you're healed, you take His word and you put it inside of you. See, in your heart, then that's your healing. That's your healing. I say this to you again. That's your healing. You put it in your heart because the Bible said He sent His word and healed them. By His word, He cast out the unclean spirit. By His word, He done all these things. That was the word walking. You're the word walking now. You're the word made flesh according to the measure and strength that you can believe it. See, and conform to it. So then we know that we have what we want. That we desire of Him because He heard us. Now then, Abraham, you have your little one. And Abraham was just going around as we were saying hallelujah, telling everybody about this wonderful little babe. This wonderful little babe. Somebody could have said, but Abraham, now don't get beside yourself. You know, you're old. What if this thing don't happen? There was no days like that with Abraham. Abraham was saying, hallelujah, thank God, my little one, praise God. You know, just probably thinking he's so lovely, he's so wonderful, at last, my precious little one. And Sarah, you know, he was encouraging her faith to believe. Now you say, well, I don't believe Abraham thought like that. Well, I believe he did. I believe he did. Let's give the Lord a hand. I believe he did. Clap your hands, all you people. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So then we see, I believe that Abraham did. And Abraham claimed that thing. And so it was the evidence and the substance. And he just sat around and waited for the day. Waited for the day. I never will forget the testimony of Betty Baxter. You know, some of you have heard of her. Old Roberts brought this out. Betty put out a book. But the Lord spoke to her, a helpless cripple. We've told you about this, some of you, in the past. And she was a helpless cripple. Her daddy spent all the money that he could. And told of the heartbreak as he stood outside the door, not knowing that she was listening. And he was saying, just talking to himself, saying, Betty, I've done all I can do for you. I can't do anything else. And it broke her heart. And all of a sudden, she just went off in a trance like. And in this trance, she looked and she saw a row of trees. Over here, two rows of trees, I believe it was. But anyway, she saw this row of trees. And she saw, as it was, one bent way over like that. And as she saw the tree, then she saw the Lord coming along. While she was in her deepest state of grief. And when he got to this tree that was all bowed over, he just reached and touched it. And just like that, it sprang up. Just like that. And she come out of the vision. And she began to tell everybody, said, I'm going to be healed, I'm going to be healed. No matter what happens, as to whatever the doctors say or whatever, God showed me my healing and I'm going to be healed, and said he told me the exact time when he was going to heal me. And they say that they set up everything, set her in a chair, the doctor was there and all the rest, and said she sat right there, just like Abraham did. Sat right there. And then all of a sudden, she went into this vision and saw this tree. See, and when she did, just as he come along and he touched it, just like that, she jumped up from there and was completely made whole. And they said the doctor just turned his head and walked off to the walls bawling. And the rest of them just, you know. And I saw the girl, young, healthy, strong, a radiant looking young lady. And she stood and gave her testimony. Completely whole, a Russian Jew. I'll give you the testimony on him. It's on tape. It happened the same way. See, because they believe. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I could never do that. Yes, you can. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Yes, you can. You can believe. God said, David, when you hear the rustling in the mulberry trees, know that the move is on. Don't you move until you hear this. And when you hear this, you go forth with your sword, and David, I'll give you your enemies. And he did it. Folks, there's a time element involved sometimes in faith. See, and that's the reason that Abraham waited till a certain time. But with you, there's no time element. Today is the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. God has given you all things that pertain unto life. Go your way and be happy. Go your way and rejoice. Go your way thanking God for all things. And just moving from one glory to another glory, and from one healing to another healing, and one blessing to another blessing. And it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. And the Bible said, his blessing maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. All of these things. I'll make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. See, go forth in joyfulness of heart. The one thing that kept the people from going into Canaan was they testified of the resistance and of the giants. And the one thing that overthrew Israel was the very thing that had done that to them in Canaan. See, but when David came, he came in faith. And the giant of opposition that had all of the armies conquered, he bellowed out about what he would do. It didn't faze David. He just danced in the Lord, went down to the brook, took that little sling of faith, as we say, and put the word of God in it, or that little stone, and he danced off up the hill, and he said, you can boast and holler and do what you want to. He said, but God has delivered you into my hands. As the bear was delivered into my hands, as the lion was delivered into my hands, he said, you uncircumcised Philistine. He said, God delivered you into my hands. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, so we see then, faith is real. Now, let me explain something right quick here and trying to find a place to close. You may see a miracle. You may work a miracle. But it don't mean you have the Holy Ghost. Just give the Lord another hand. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you're out of your mind. Having visions, having gifts, working miracles does not mean that you have the Holy Ghost. Now let's look at it just for a moment. See, how can you prove that, Brother Pike? How do you believe that Elijah worked miracles? Raise your hand if you believe that. Did he have the Holy Ghost? How could he have the Holy Ghost? The Bible said it was not yet given. You understand what I'm saying? Didn't Elisha have a double portion of the Spirit of God? Did he have the Holy Ghost? Of course not. The Holy Ghost had not yet been given, but he worked miracles. Didn't Saul prophesy so much, even with murder in his heart? He went up to Ramoth Gilead to kill David, but when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, not having the Holy Ghost, he prophesied. See, didn't Balaam see visions? Balaam said, I can see the Lord with my eyes open. Did he have the Holy Ghost? Of course not. The Holy Ghost had not yet been given. And the Bible said he loved the wages of unrighteousness and was killed after being rebuked by the dumb ass, was killed because of his foolishness. So then, why marvel when I say that men like Oral Roberts or Jim Swaggart or Jim Baker or other men in our day are doing these things as to an act of faith? And not having the Holy Ghost. See, the blood is on the seat of atonement. Grace is there. I know the Bible said no man can do a miracle in my name and lightly speak evil of me. But a lot of times these men are not doing the miracles. faith. There's blood on the seat of atonement. The rain is on the unjust right now. The unjust can get healed just like the just. A lot of times the unjust get healed and the just don't get healed because the unjust don't try to work it out as to self-righteousness because they have nothing to start with. They're just trusting the merits of God. Now, but it is a fact that Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness. He loved the wages of unrighteousness and wanted money. But he still had a gift. And it was a terrific gift. And the Bible said whoever he blessed was blessed. Whoever he was cursed in that day was cursed. That's why the king sent for him. So folks, we can be a believer, but we may not have his spirit. And the Bible said if you have not his spirit, then you're none of his. There's but one spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of Christ. And when he comes, he'll come in my name, he'll testify of me, and the Spirit of Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When he comes into your heart, you'll have your fruits unto holiness, and the end thereof, of eternal life. So then we need to understand what we're doing, and we need to understand faith. And this little exhorting that we're doing here in just a simple way is to make you realize that you have a challenge before you. As children of God, you should be believing God for everything. You should be growing in the grace and knowledge. And you should never put yourself down as to saying, I'm not believing, when you know you're making a sincere effort. But what you need to do is strengthen your faith. The Bible said, strengthen that remains, lest I move the candlestick. For the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward part. All right, so then let us go forth from this time on, having it settled as to God's part. We know that's for sure. Our part, it means that we've got to put forth some efforts to convince our heart. See, and let us do this with the feeling and understanding that we're going to have strength and that we're going to be strong in faith. And one other thing that we need to do, Jesus complimented some people as to greatness of faith. To have great faith is to have humility. For the Bible said, humility goes before honor. And Jesus said, take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Don't go to try to be some great boasting fella about this will happen and I've got a ministry. Don't do that. You have humility. When the woman came for healing for her daughter, Jesus said, you can't give the bread to the dogs. This is the children's bread. She said, yea, Lord, I know that. But said, the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the children's table. And he said, woman, great is thy faith. See her humility and her persistence. And when the man, when he sent forth word that he wanted his servant healed, Jesus marveled because someone came and the man said, I didn't think myself worthy. And said, Lord, I don't feel that I'm worthy for you to come under my roof. Said, I'm a man of authority. I say to one, go, he goes. One to come, he comes. All I'm asking you to do is speak the word. And Jesus marveled and said, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. See, all of Israel. So it was humility. And Moses, great and mighty miracles, the Bible said he was the meekest man in all the land. So then, humility is the forerunner of honor. And that's one of the hardest things for men and women to do because they have the pride of life. Okay, let's stand together. I've kept you a little longer than I intended to keep you tonight, and especially in that it is warm. I really didn't mean to do that. I have to take a few minutes to get these things on tape, and I felt Satan hindered tonight. Maybe you didn't, but there was some carnality here and some resistance in an individual. Or individuals, and it hindered me all the way through my message. But I was determined that we wasn't going to let Satan stop us, because these go out to the public, and Satan knows that. That's why he tries to do what he does with his old doubtful carnal mind. Remember, when the sons of God came to present themselves, Satan came also. And when you come to present yourself just as Christ is within you, Satan is within the children of the carnal mind. Well, that's his major tool. Taken into captivity of the will of the devil. And they have a carnality of resistance, of doubt and discrepancy. And they sit in the seat of the scornful and they stand in the way of sinners. But nevertheless, I pity them. And we go right on preaching this wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Now when you sing, as a rule, you don't have any hindrance when you go to singing, because though Satan doesn't like that word, it casts him out, it roots him up. But when you sing, he likes that. The rain coming down on the just and the unjust. Just as when David played his harp, even Saul, you know, he got into the right kind of a mind. And when the women of old played their timbrels, the prophets would get into the right frame of mind. So when you sing, the rain comes down. Even the tire enjoys that. All right, let's sing together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Precious Spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest. It is complete. While I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Can you sing that with me? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail on the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. The altars are open. And I need Thee, Lord, I need Thee every hour, I need Thee, I need Thee now, precious Savior, and oh, how I so don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. Oh, he has come back to your hearts once again. So let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to Jesus and hear his loving voice, and don't turn him away. Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in today. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. If you need something from God, now's the time to get it. If you've never made a commitment unto God, now's the time to make your commitment. Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that great day. If you've never made that commitment, now is the time to make it. Today is the day of salvation. Take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself, for the evil is sufficient unto the day thereof. A lot of people say, well, it's not my time, Brother Pike. Today it's not my day, but maybe later. It's not your day because you're in the wrong frame of mind. It's not your day because the devil is hindering you. As someone said, well, I would come to the altar, you know, if I wanted to. No, you couldn't come to the altar because you can't want to. The devil's got you bound and he's took the want to out of you. But when you acknowledge the word of the Lord, this word of God will drive that evil spirit out. He'll cast it out by his word, and then you'll have the want to, and then when you get the want to, you'll come to the altar. See, anybody that would even be listening today, wherever, you know, the thing is, when the Lord gives the call, you should go. You should go because the Lord is saying it's time for you to come. There's no such thing as taking thought for tomorrow, saying perhaps another day. You may not be living another day. See, so you should come to God. When God says come, you should come to God. That should be the hour that you come to God. When the Lord says move, then you should move. Like the song we sing, you've got to move. So then, always be ready. Be ready. One thing about the fig tree, you know, it was out of season. And it wasn't time for the figs. But nevertheless, I say so often, if God made the fig tree, it's time to give figs. Brother, when God says move, it don't matter whether it's in season or out of season, it's time for you to be in season for God. When God says it, that's the way it's got to be. All right, let's sing together again. Can we sing together? Let's sing I Love Him. I love Him, love Him, oh, because that He first loved me, and He salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Can we lift our hands up together, sing this little chorus together? And I will praise Him, sinners slain, and will give Him glory all ye people, for His blood has washed away. Once again now, and I will praise. Praising the Lord, the Bible said, examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. Faith that cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is no faith outside of the word of the Lord. That's mere believing. But when the word says it, Jesus said, have faith in the word. Have faith in God. As we sing together again now. Once again. And I, can you close your eyes and lift your hands up and sing with me?